Things are getting cheaper, statistically speaking. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's news this morning that a measure of inflation, the guardians of interest rates at the Fed watch closely, is down, a retreat from a five-year peak in February. On Mondays, we check in on the economy and the week ahead with economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Hey there.
Good morning.
Where did inflation go? We got this data today, and I can't find any.
Yeah, no, there isn't any. We lost ground both on overall inflation, which includes energy prices, but also the Fed's preferred measure of core inflation, which takes out food and energy prices. It also fell.
This is the PCE inflation reading, personal consumption expenditures.
This is the broadest measure of consumer inflation, which is why the Fed likes to look at this. This is medical services, education, you know, all the retail items that you buy, as well as food and energy. But of course, the core measure takes those out. But it is a broad measure of everything you buy.
Very few people think the Fed is going to raise interest rates this week when they meet, but they could signal what happens in, I think, in June.
We're looking for any signals about what they're likely to do in June, whether they will continue raising rates or take another pause. And I expect them probably they'll keep their options open this week and just wait and gather more information. More than likely, they'll raise rates again in June, but they probably want more evidence that growth and inflation are moving in the right direction.
Economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Right now, as a benchmark for the cost of borrowing in the U.S., the 10-year Treasury yield is up at 2.3%. Today is May Day, a day when labor unions and other groups traditionally march in favor of workers' rights, and immigrant rights will be a major focus this year as President Trump pursues a tougher line at the border, Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
Hundreds of thousands of immigrants are striking and marching for the annual workers' protest. Organizers throughout the country are expecting this year's march to be the largest in years. Brenda Valladares is with the activist group Consecha. She is an immigrant herself from Peru. She says after November, everybody's talking about immigration.
We've seen this increase in anti-immigrant rhetoric that's everywhere.
She says their group is trying to educate immigrants about the power they have, both through labor strikes and also through boycotting certain anti-immigrant companies. Jesus Hernandez works for Market Hall Foods in Oakland. He's originally from Cuba. He says the company is closing its doors on Monday in support of immigrant workers, but also because many of the people who work there will be marching. A lot of the people are immigrants, he tells me. The bosses, the owners, they're also immigrants. They have a lot of immigrant workers, and most importantly, they respect that they have a lot of consumers and clients that are immigrants. Like many other businesses are finding out, the immigrant community has a lot of purchasing power and can affect their bottom line. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
The metaphor is cutting the cord, people dumping cable TV service to stream shows via the internet, but people are also cutting their satellite links. There's news today that Dish Network's profit fell 6% after losing 143,000 subscribers last quarter. The stock is quite volatile this morning, at the moment down 0.8%. Now to the latest from the Marketplace Edison Research poll. We found 83% said they support Congress passing a large spending bill to fix and upgrade roads, bridges, airports. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look at why public support for infrastructure is rising.
64-year-old Taylor Rickard, an IT consultant, is giving me a guided tour of her worst nightmare.
Well, let me see if I can get us down there.
We're driving along the Rappahannock River in Fredericksburg, Virginia, under a bridge Rickard says is about 75 years old and showing its age.
Look at the rust and look at the patches.
Ew.
On the concrete. And that's what we're supposedly trusting our lives with.
Rickard took our poll, and you've probably guessed how she answered our question on infrastructure. She really wants Congress and the White House to repair it, starting with rail, highways, and yes, the bridges spanning the Rappahannock, which she drives over a couple of times a week, thinking,
one of these days, one of these bridges is going to give in.
Turns out, lots of people are worried about rusty bridges and crumbling highways. What to fix first? I turn to the American Society of Civil Engineers for that. Greg DiLoretto is chair of the Society's Committee on U.S. Infrastructure. I asked him to list his top three infrastructure priorities.
You know, it would be nice if it could be that easy.
DiLoretto says infrastructure is interconnected. You can't, say, fix wastewater treatment without improving the electrical grid that makes it run. DiLoretto says user fees need to go up for water, for highways.
We as Americans have to step up and say, you know what, I'm tired of sitting in traffic. I'm willing to spend some money to get out of sitting in traffic.
Back in Fredericksburg, Taylor Rickard says she'd pay a higher gas tax for better roads. The motivation behind Rickard's devotion to infrastructure usually sits right behind her in a car seat.
I have three grandchildren. I would like to leave them with a legacy of a country that works properly.
Rickard says she's been worried about the bridges over the Rappahannock since her kids were in car seats. In Fredericksburg, Virginia, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And a hacker has posted what appears to be much of the new season of Orange is the New Black. After Netflix chose to ignore the hacker's ransom demand, the hacker tweeted that his needs were, quote, modest. The digital pirate says he's got other shows and is demanding money from those content producers. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.